Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. We are confronted at the moment with, rather unexpectedly, I guess, an assault on not just the free world someplace else, but on our own southern border. A woman who has been giving considerable thought to this and writing about it in her inimitable style is our first guest, Diana West, a regular here at Secure Freedom Radio, syndicated columnist, author of two best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana West, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be with you.
You have described what I think of as an invasion taking place now along our southern border, populated in part, but not very largely, by unaccompanied illegal alien children, as a national emergency. Talk about why that is.
I think national emergency is the proper way to face this rather than crisis, because this is an ongoing issue. And it is an emergency issue. Crisis gives us an idea that this is something that will come to an end, that can be stopped, and also that you know, people are taking steps to mitigate it. And this is not the case. This is a national emergency. And what's particularly difficult about it is that our federal government and many state authorities are actually doing things to extend it, entrench it, and perpetuate it.
And to the extent that there is, in fact, a national emergency character to this, it raises a host of questions, not least of which is, what can be done about it? First of all, what is the administration doing for its part? Is it contributing to the problem, or is it, in fact, taking steps that are appropriate to ameliorate it?
Well, any natural reaction by a patriotic presidential administration would immediately take steps to stop the inflow and to deport these aliens back to their nations of origin. That is the natural self-survival instinct at work, but this is not the case at all. And indeed, the Obama administration and all of the ancillary bureaucracies are busy taking steps to make this inflow permanent. They call it temporary steps, but I think we can see that these are steps being made to keep these people here by the 100,000. There is actually a very easy fix, in the sense that the only way that this is happening is because the American people are paying for it. And I think this is where you start getting into sort of layers of the grotesque in terms of understanding what's going on. We are really the means of our own destruction, in the sense that the American taxpayer money is what is fueling every single step of the way. And so what the answer is, the answer lies in the power of the purse, the power of our representatives on Capitol Hill. And this is where we see the big disconnect.
I want to come back to that, Diana, but before we leave entirely the question of the administration's role, would you address a question that a number of members of Congress have been advancing, and others in the punditocracy, of which I consider you to be a charter member, whether the Obama administration, starting with the president himself, bears a considerable degree of responsibility for this invasion because of the policies that it has been pursuing that have served as a kind of magnet for these kids and others. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. But I would question the word policy, because what we're looking at is executive overreach that is not really a policy so much as lawless behavior. I mean, it is lawless to have annulled the congressional wishes on the DREAM Act, for example, and enacted, as President Obama did, in everything but name, through an executive action. I mean, we've seen this and discussed this many times. The president has taken executive actions, dictatorial actions, to create a magnet for this very predicament that's upon us. So yes, the Obama administration and previously the George Bush administration, which did never address the border issue, despite congressional action that called for it to be addressed. This is a long time coming, this problem, and certainly at the top we've seen in both parties actions that have created this national emergency. I mean, this really is a dire predicament. It is a nullification of the border.
And an infringement upon our sovereignty, which we'll also come back to in a minute. But Diana, just then to go to the power of the purse point that you've made, one of the things that I've been struck by is the extent to which we have, it seems now, not only in the bureaucracies of the federal government, agencies that are deeply, deeply invested in this whole idea of processing kids and otherwise facilitating the permanent installation in this country of illegal aliens, but we have a whole slew, many of them faith-based groups that have profited from this enormously. You've done some research into these agencies and these private sector entities. Talk a little bit about this sort of cottage industry, if you will.
Yes, well, it's quite a cottage when you look at the figures here. The faith-based groups, and you know, you could really put quotation marks around faith-based to indicate some degree of skepticism here. We're looking at the U.S. Conference of the Catholic Bishops, the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, the Baptist Child and Family Service. These sound like faith-based groups. They do not have a church. They do not have a congregation. These are essentially entities that are almost entirely funded by taxpayer money. And if just to give you an example, we have the U.S. Catholic bishops, the money that they spent, we have figures for 2012, the money that they spent to assist refugees, 93% of the $71 million that they spent in 2012 to assist refugees is taxpayer money. We get similar numbers looking at the Lutherans. We, you know, way above 96.8% of the total smaller $41 million that they spent in the same year, public money.
So these sort of create a kind of lobby.
Lobby that tells people that they are doing charity work. But charity work is not taxpayer money. That is not taxpayer, that is not charity. There is, it is a real dick to beat people over the head with by claiming this religious act, which is actually just more taxpayer-funded social transfer of wealth. I mean, this is what's going on. But the biggest one that people must become aware of, that I'm aware of, is the Baptist group, Baptist Child and Family Services. This year, they have already received almost $200 million.
This is the group, too, as I recall, that was involved in some rather heavy-handed efforts to suppress medical personnel who were attending to these kids from disclosing the physical condition of many of them, which was rather serious in some cases.
Yes, and they were also the group that was involved in an attempt to buy a $50 million Texas resort to house these people, these aliens. And I have to correct myself. It was actually almost $200 million came to them on one day. They have already received about $250 million this year, but almost $200 million of it came on July 7th, which looks to me like it was the day they were looking to close the deal on the $50 million Texas resort.
Diana, let me close with a perhaps provocative question. I don't know that there's any way to know this, but I wondered what your informed speculation on it might be, and that is that we're seeing this kind of behavior, lawlessness, as you say, on the part of the president. We're seeing the effects of it, creating both situations in which our sovereignty, our border are being eliminated. We're seeing public safety issues develop as a result of these health considerations. Are you concerned that as people, naturally, Americans respond to this with both alarm and, in some cases, a more militant action, that this is being set up as a provocation by the Obama administration for some further effort to crack down on the rest of us?
Well, that's certainly the natural question. I mean, if this wasn't a plan, it certainly is a program at this point. We are seeing these incursions of dangerous people, of disease-ridden people, of overwhelming numbers that communities are unable to support and do not want to support in their midst. The pieces are falling into place for just what you describe. Public unrest, threats to the public safety, all of these become potential excuses for a federal crackdown, for more and more federal involvement and federal laying down the law in ugly ways that are undemocratic and indeed unconstitutional.
We must leave it at that, I'm afraid. Diana West, thank you very much for joining us, as always, for the splendid work you do with your syndicated column. Find it at dianawest.net, and of course for your contributions to Us Each Week. We'll talk with you again next week. Next up, we'll talk with Father Hannah about the plight of Christians in the Middle East and what it might mean for us as well. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.